Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben, September 7th, 2006. Great day on tap once again for us all as you're making your way through the middle of the work week. Yes, it's already the middle. Can you imagine that? That Monday holiday really makes a big difference, doesn't it? Every time. It always seems to take you by surprise how fast the week starts going by when you have no Monday. Let's take a look at the weather.
Well, right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 63 degrees, downtown 62, Anderson 64, also in Clemson 64. Today, partly cloudy, highs in the lower 80s, and northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Well, Doug Taylor from the Libertarian Party of Anderson County sent me an interesting note, said, what is the Omega Project? Well, the Omega Project is as follows, apparently. Anderson Diversity Forum to take place on Saturday, September the 6th. That was, how can you be Saturday, September the 6th, since Monday was September the 6th? There must be a problem here. At any rate, the second annual Be the Link for Diversity Forum is scheduled for Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. in the Anderson County Library. Registration begins at 9 a.m. and breakout sessions begin at 10 a.m. Topics this year include special needs and disabilities, teen pregnancy, and diversity education. For more information to enroll, residents may contact Anderson County Human Relations Council and the Omega Project Coordinator, Jessica Gregory, at 864-260-4856. Well, what in the world is this? Is what Doug's asking. That's what I'm asking, too. What are they trying to push on Anderson County now? It sounds like some kind of multicultural, politically correct sensitivity training session or something. Hard to say exactly what that is. If you know, give us a call at 864-244-8177, and we'll discuss it. You can also try our backup line, which is 864-201-6955. Missouri condemnation no longer so imminent. Missouri condemnation no longer so imminent. Supreme Court ruling ignites political backlash. This is T.R. Reid from the Washington Post writing on Tuesday, September 6th. Sunset Hills, Missouri, when David Wright retired from his factory job in 1997, he poured just about all of his savings into a handsome brick house in the Sunset Manor subdivision here. This was our dream, said David's wife, Lorraine. We're set here for the rest of our lives. But the dream turned sour when the city council of this St. Louis suburb decided last year to bulldoze all 254 homes in Sunset Manor and turn the land over to a shopping mall developer. We cried and prayed, Lorraine Wright recalled, and we put a lot of hope into the Supreme Court because they were supposed to decide whether this kind of thing is legal. So the rights were crushed at first when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on June 23rd the Constitution does not stop cities from seizing homes to make way for commercial development projects. What we didn't realize right away, David Wright said, was the decision would be a positive development for those of us who didn't want to see people's houses taken away. Here in Missouri, or all over the country, the court's decision in Kelo versus the City of New London has sparked a furious reaction, with politicians of both parties proposing new legislation that would sharply limit the kind of seizure the court's decision validated. As a result, a decision first seen as a key legal victory for cities that want to use eminent domain for private projects has turned into a major setback on the political front for pro-development interests. Let's not just call them pro-development interests, let's call them pro-Marxist interests. That's really what this is all about, eliminating private property here. The popular backlash has slowed or blocked many pending projects as developers, their bankers, and local governments suddenly face public furor. Three states have already passed new laws in response to the Kelo decision. Other cities are tightening the conditions that could authorize such seizure. Well, here's a couple other items in a follow-up story said related to this. Several members of Congress have introduced legislation that would bar federal financing for any local government project that condemns property for a commercial development. But Congress did authorize governments to condemn property for the benefit of energy companies in the new energy bill that President Bush signed last month. The right of government to seize private property for public projects is specifically authorized in the Constitution as long as owners receive just compensation. A farmer whose cornfield lies in the path of a proposed expressway can be forced to sell the land even if he wants to keep farming there. Traditionally, this power of eminent domain was used for government functions such as parks and highways. Parks? That's a strange thing to put in there, isn't it? I mean, when did they start bulldozing people's homes so they can get to put a park up? That's a little bit strange. I think that's mistaken. I don't think that's traditional, but maybe it is, and I just don't know about it. It's usually for dam projects, for bridges, for highways. That's typically what it's for. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who dissented in Kelo, warned that permitting seizure of private property for private development would have a reverse Robin Hood effect, giving governments license to transfer property from those with few resources to those with more. That pattern was clear in Sunset Hills. The owner of a shopping mall 2 miles away has financed the efforts to holdout owners to block condemnation of their projects. Anyway, how can you fight City Hall? And the Supreme Court ruled against people like us, but the reaction to that decision has been so strong the project is kind of stopped, so now they are thinking they can stay here. Well, this is interesting. We like reading about property rights cases. I won't read the whole article, but here we have another facet of all of this. We have the backlash. How strong is the backlash going to be? Well, I'm not sure. Remember, we have on the tyrannyresponse.net or .com website a related media tab, and at the bottom of that we have the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to Save Your Private Property. You can view the current signatures by clicking there. We have about 293 people have signed. Not a lot of people have gone and signed lately at all. That worries me a little bit, because if there's only 293 people willing to sign this thing in South Carolina out of the 4 million people here, well, either they think it's irrelevant or a waste of time, or they just don't care about their private property, or they think it's a waste of time to even bother, trying to change City Hall, so to speak, and trying to do something that will limit the powers of government. That's sad. That really means we have a tough road to hoe here, because it doesn't seem like we're going to be able to succeed as long as people are unwilling to fight for their rights. And yeah, you do have to fight for your rights. Just because TJ and the other founding fathers wrote it down 200 and some odd years ago, doesn't mean you still have it today. States have always been those who have tried to impede on people's rights and take them away. And if you're not internally vigilant, as they said, to maintain your liberty, you will lose it. And now you're seeing some of your liberty be eroded away. And we've seen erosion of liberty dramatically in the last 50 years. But it just, when you look at how much we've lost between then and now, it's astounding. And each little bit of liberty lost may not be quite so surprising or compelling or exasperating, because you just look at one little piece of it. But folks, we're losing ground every year. Every year we lose more liberty to the statists. And unless we stop it, unless we stand up for God, our God-given heritage here in America, then it will be lost. All right, here is a story called Man-Made Hurricanes. I got to read this one, I guess. Man-Made Hurricanes, this is off of lewrockwell.com by Sabine Barnhart. Critical analysis over the devastation of Hurricane Katrina emerged as swiftly as the raging winds and heavy downpours swept over the historic city of New Orleans. The fierce power of the storm destroyed the levees, flooding the city, demolishing the livelihood of hundreds of thousands of people, as we know. Let me skip down through the article a little bit here. Unfortunately, high priest of the German Environmental Ministry, a guy named Mr. Tritton, spouted his global warming beliefs, making an insensitive statement immediately after the hurricane struck the Crescent City. He was quoted in the Frankfurter Rundschau as saying that greenhouse gases have to be radically reduced worldwide. Oh, really? As if this had something to do with so-called global warming. Mr. Tritton, who stands behind the statement that climate changes are influenced by man's disregard for the environment, was only mirroring the great partition that is settling between the two ideologies. Well, you know what? We've had hurricanes long before the global warming freaks. the people who got to come out there and start crying all about the environmental problems, man-made environmental problems. We've had hurricanes all along, and we've had devastating hurricanes all along. You just look at the weather.com or any of these other pages, you'll see all sorts of records of these things happening back into the, you know, even the late 1800s when we have, good records on what on how many people were killed and so forth. It's a natural disaster, and they're just using it as an opportunist would to take a political advantage from it. It says, it feeds the masses with unproven theories of frightening rhetoric that will have a tremendous impact on their social and economic future if adapted. That's what the author says here. The catastrophe opens up the possibility of a much-needed dialogue, which in turn creates an opportunity to redistribute responsibility to communities and for people to keep for the upkeep and administration of their homes and cities. Global warming laws and government dominance can never accomplish what people are capable of doing when given the choice to invest in their own backyard. It shouldn't be the responsibility of the state whatsoever. And bizarre, it's not really bizarre. I mean, leftists do anything to take advantage of the situation. So why wouldn't a leftist? Why wouldn't they use the global warming or the hurricane to promote their global warming agenda? Makes some sense. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And I was just looking down through the various events that are going on this month of September. How do I know what events are going on here in the upstate, political events or important meetings related to the Christian worldview and the public policy theology that we espouse here at the Christian Worldview Program, or just things that are interesting, listening, something to be involved in? Well, you go to tyrannyresponse.com. And you click on the events tab. That's how you get there. It's pretty simple to do, and it's a great place to visit once in a while. For instance, are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you no longer have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they're regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month. That will be tomorrow night, by the way, at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome to talk politics. Join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And that ad is there, and the directions, if you missed them, are available on the tyrannyresponse.com or .net website under the events tab. We also are going to have a meeting of the Constitution Party coming up sometime. I don't know if it's tomorrow night or if it's the following week. That hasn't been updated quite yet. But that, the only event that's clearly going on this week is the Libertarian Party Business Meeting. Next week, we have the Patriots, Carolina Patriots meeting in Asheville, the League of the South meeting, on the 15th, and that'll be at the Prime Sirloin. And the following night, we have the Patriots in Fountain Inn, the Carolina Patriots meeting in Fountain Inn. So hope you can attend some of these meetings, and by all means, make tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com part of your routine that you'll check out regularly, at least once a week or so, as you plan your own schedules and start thinking about where you're going to be involved in this week to change your world. Yes, we are in the business of changing the world. Why do we want to change the world? What does God's Word say? If you happen to have your Bibles handy, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. If you're driving along, see if you can just listen to what God says as we, and this came out of the creation ordinance, obviously, Genesis chapter 1. And, it says as follows. God blessed them, that's Adam and Eve, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the sea." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. There is a command in the scripture for Christians to subdue the earth. Now what does it mean to subdue the earth? Well, it means, in my estimation, in the estimation of many theologians, that man is to take control or take charge of stewarding the earth which God created. He's not to destroy the earth or abuse the earth, I'm talking about abuse as defined, what God would define as abuse, not what environmentalists define as abuse. We are to take care of the resources that we have. We are to use them in a way that makes life better, that makes the world better, in a sense following God's work after him, by creating from the resources and using our hands and our minds something that wasn't there before. And so as history progresses and technology progresses, we do exactly that. That's one way we subdue the earth. And being fruitful and multiplying obviously has to do with filling the world with more children who understand God and his ways. That's our goal. That is our job at the as Christians in this life, to transform the culture. Well, part of the way to subdue the earth is indeed transforming the culture with the gospel. We are to take charge as God's representatives here on the earth of promoting his kingdom. And one way we promote his kingdom is indeed through activism in the political process, or activism in thinking about public policy theology. We leave it up to the liberty of everyone's conscience to decide what he should be doing in the fight for truth in the world. But fight for truth we must do, because that is our calling. That is one thing we do when we subdue the earth, is bring it under the dominion of Jesus Christ and his way, his word. So Christian Worldview is dedicated to that purpose. We have a show here that people can listen to and think more deeply about issues in a way they may have never thought about issues before. And we're glad you joined us here this morning to share in that. Fox News has mayor approves forced flight. New Orleans mayor okays forcible removal of remaining residents. Pumping out city continues as levees are repaired. Contamination is feared. So now they just force people to leave their homes. Oh, that's nice. Nothing real surprising, I suppose, from what any of these kind of tyrants will do. Well, I'll tell you what, if you look at the daily news, it's always one depressing thing after the next, isn't it? But you know what? We can rejoice and have great joy and peace knowing that God is in control. If God were not in control and he were out of control, then we'd have something to worry about. But if our God can ordain all these things and allow them to come to pass, we can have peace in our hearts that it's working together for our good, even in spite of the fact of that we have a greater and greater tyrannical state here in America. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Time for a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here's your word for the day. New word, tenderloin. Sorry, it's a noun, tenderloin. You know what that means? You're thinking meat, right? That's what I thought when I saw it, too. It doesn't mean just meat. It's the part of a city notorious for vice and corruption. Good word to know, huh? The part of a city notorious for vice and corruption. It received this definition, essentially, this use and meaning, after a district in New York City known for vice, crime, and corruption, extortion, graft, etc. It received its nickname from the choicest part of the meat, alluding to the luxurious diet of corrupt police members getting an easy income from bribes. A lot of times people point to Latin America as being a place where you can, where cops are corrupt and take bribes. It's true, everywhere except Chile, at any rate. But, you know, it happens in every country, and even here, 100 years ago in America, or even today indirectly, people in public office or who have power take bribes. So appreciate the word from our research staff, tenderloin, coming up. Interesting stuff. Well, Confederate flag controversy ignites campus-wide passions, and the university collegian says, Scott M. Rosen and Jason Richwine writing, tempers flared on the university campus this week over a display of the Confederate battle flag by senior student Jason Richmond. There's absolutely no place for this sort of expression on campus, said Daniel Webster, head of the college Whigs. Mr. Richmond is clearly trying to turn back the clock on centuries of mercantilist protectionist tariff policies. According to Webster, opposition to the Morrill Tariff Act of 1861 is an affront to the industrial monopolists and economic mercantilists everywhere. The Whigs Club plans to hold a candlelight vigil to promote awareness of economic nationalist policies. When questioned about the right to free speech, Stevens responded that such notions as the writ of habeas corpus and other civil liberties were outdated, particularly when the fiat currency system was under attack. When asked if the Confederate practice of slavery also upset him, William noted that he wasn't concerned so much as with tertiary topics and believed that people of good conscience could hold differing views on the issue. For his part, Richmond, who also heads the university students for classical liberalism, condemns the university for what he calls an economic blacklist. Lawyers for Individual Rights and Education, a conservative watchdog group, is set to take the case. You don't know how many clients we have in our office who were harassed for defending the voluntary secession of the Confederate States and the line item veto provision in the CSA Constitution. It just makes us sick, the group said in a statement. But the entire university is not against Richmond. The housing department issued a press release that reads, "We may not like the works of Adam Smith and David Ricardo, but we need to respect all points of view, no matter how vile they may be." Oh, my. And he calls his beliefs, Richmond's belief, anachronistic. At least somebody coming right out and saying, yeah, we like to have big trade and trade barriers to promote monopoly. That's what it's all about, and we enjoy it. Well, interesting comment. Appreciate the research staff sending that one up to us. More hatred of the Confederate flag, Confederate battle flag, excuse me. Fox News says the UN spreading bribery scandal. We were talking about graft just a minute ago. Russian ties and global reach. This came out today, this morning, by Claudia Rossett and George Russell of Fox News. New York, how widespread is the corruption at the United Nations? The multi-billion-dollar Iraq oil for food scandal was just the beginning. Now the issue is becoming the scale of corruption in the United Nations' normal operations and which individuals and corporations are reaping the benefits of a network of bribery and conspiracy that investigators have just begun to uncover. So far, those identities are still a mystery, but perhaps not for much longer. Last Friday, federal prosecutors in Manhattan indicted the head of the UN's own Budget Oversight Committee, a Russian named Vladimir Kuznetsov, on charges of laundering hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bribes paid by companies seeking contracts with the United Nations. Kuznetsov, who has pleaded innocent, allegedly took a cut so openly that he had part of it deposited into the United Nations' own staff credit union in New York. Kuznetsov's arrest is the latest twist in the scandal involving the United Nations Procurement Department, which is the longtime post of Alexander Yakovlev, another Russian UN official recently fingered by U.S. federal investigators. Well, isn't this interesting? The United Nations corrupt? Oh, what a shock. What a surprise. A United Nations employees there for graft, looting people through bribery and through taking payoffs and so forth. Oh, what a shock. These are the people who vicariously represent the utopian ideals of Mother Gaia and whoever else, right? Or I'm exaggerating here, obviously, but listen, folks, nothing should surprise you about a corrupt institution that's built and based upon something that's evil from its very foundation, like the United Nations. And we're not surprised when we read this sort of thing. We should not be, at any rate, as Christians. We should be expecting these kinds of things to come out from time to time, because they go on all the time, and it's just a matter of how often and how frequently they are discovered. People with this kind of power abuse power, and that's what the United Nations is all about, the abuse of power. It hides behind a facade of doing good, when in fact it does the opposite. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Cove. Make sure you call in this morning, 864-201-6955 is the backup line, 864-244-8177 is our main line. So we'll be back after this break.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. This is the network that helps you think better, think deeper, think differently, and maybe even shocks people. From what I understand, we shock people from time to time. Some people say, how in the world can you say what you do on the air, read this kind of stuff, and not have somebody from the state come over and attack you? Well, maybe they will at some point, but we're content now to preach the truth and let the chips fall where they will. As long as we serve the Lord, we know that the greatest protector we can have in life and death is our Lord. And when it's time for us to depart from this earth in providence, that will be the time which He has ordained, not which men have ordained. Have you ever thought about that? Let me turn over one. We're going to take a look at the weather, and after we take a look at the weather, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2.
Well, right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 62 degrees, downtown 64, Anderson 65, also in Clemson 65. Today, partly cloudy, highs in the lower 80s, and northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Well, here's the Christian worldview from the mouth of the Apostle Peter, inspired by God in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, maybe 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. And I think the King James has it, the predetermined purpose. You have taken by lawless deeds and lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Jesus Christ was murdered by the Roman state, being assailed falsely by accusers among the Jewish nation. He was assailed according to the predetermined or determined purpose and counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's the Christian worldview, that Jesus Christ and every other believer dies when God has determined it to be the case. In the Psalms, we're told that God has every one of our years already meted out for us or measured for us. God knows how long we're going to live, and He's not going to be thwarted no matter how many men want to kill us. That should give you, as a Christian, more boldness as you go out to do battle with those who work iniquity, with those on the other side of things. Remember the great faith of Stonewall Jackson, one of my favorite stories, and one of the reasons I named my fourth son Matthew, put his middle name as Stonewall, Matthew Stonewall Coben. Why that is the case? Remember, Stonewall Jackson believed so heavily in the providence of God, he would stand when bullets were flying toward him, and zealously not worry or not be concerned, and encourage his men to stand firm and fight, because he knew that he could not die. One of those bullets could not hit him until God ordained it to be the case. And it did ordain it at the hand of one of his own men, accidentally, at Chancellorsville. But during the battles of First Manassas, or as the Yankees call it, Bull Run, he received his nickname, Stonewall. And the story is something like this, that as the Yankees were advancing on the Confederate troops, the Confederates began to fall back and retreat. And then Jackson rallied his men and said, no, stand firm. And he stood up against a hail of bullets, pointing towards the enemy and encouraging his men to fire and stand firm where they were. And General B. From Georgia, who was later killed, I'm not sure if it was that battle or elsewhere, said, look, there's Jackson standing as a stone wall. Rally behind the Virginians. And the Georgians did. And they whooped. It's a good southern word, huh? They whooped the Yankees that day. And that's how Stonewall Jackson got his nickname. And indeed, we can stand as a stone wall in the face of evil. Are you afraid to stand as a stone wall? Is your faith so small? Is your faith so confined to your own selfish interests, as we all tend to have, that we don't go forth and proclaim the truth and stand firm against errors of our day? Well, I'm not much of a preacher, you know. I'm more of the academic type, but I will give you this encouragement that you can stand as a stone wall, because God has preordained the amount of days in which you will live upon the earth, and no government agency is going to shorten those. No sizable number of leftist protesters is going to shorten the number of days that you have if God wants you to survive longer, because you will do His work in the world until He wants you to come home. And that is our great hope, that we serve a God that truly is active. He is there, and you can trust Him. It's a hard thing for us to do as human beings, but that is indeed what the Scripture teaches us. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back after this break.
Meant for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And the U.S. is to give Palestinians $50 million, source the United Nations Agency for International Development, that's USAID. Ramallah, West Bank, the American government, and Palestinian leaders have signed an agreement to the... what do you mean agreement? They're going to give them money. What do you need an agreement for? Anyway, well, maybe there's something to it. Transfer $50 million in direct assistance to the Palestinians. That means that they're going to basically walk over there with a suitcase full of, or suitcases full of cash and hand it to them. Effectively, that's what they're going to do. They're going to give the Palestinians $50 million. We should know about this, right? A special presidential waiver is necessary for direct financial assistance to the Palestinian Authority. President George W. Bush announced the direct aid last May during the White House visit of Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas. Interesting. USAID has spent more than $1.7 billion on the West Bank and Gaza since 1993 to combat poverty, create jobs, improve education, and build roads and water systems, construct and equip medical clinics, and promote good governance. So USAID is not the dispensationalist friend. I can see that already since they're promoting the enemies of Israel. But I don't want them to promote, I'm not being a dispensationalist, but I don't want to promote in any way anyone, anywhere, by the hand of a proactive government or a state. Just preposterous, evil, wrong, terrible thing to do. Authors of fetal pain paper accused of bias. USA Today reports that the suspicious research study that claimed unborn children feel no pain until the final months of pregnancy and given worldwide coverage by the Associated Press was authored by a couple of pro-aborts. This is what we get when we allow baby-murdering scum. Wow, whoa. I'm just reading along here. Baby-murdering scum to have access to academia when they should be tried and executed. The lead author of the bogus report, U.S. University of California, San Francisco medical student Susan J. Lee, is also a lawyer. Before entering medical school, she worked as a lawyer for the domestic terrorist organization National Abortion and Reproductive Rights Action League, NARAL. Another author, Eleanor Dre, is medical director of one of San Francisco's largest abortion facilities. Well, this is interesting news, isn't it, from the USA Today. It was posted on August 25th, 10:30 a.m., by the editor. Interesting stuff. Yes, NARAL. These are evil, twisted organizations. And they're saying, what was this word? I've got to remember this again. When we allow baby murdering scum. So that's a pretty sharp words, aren't it? So university, hello, my name is Susan Lee. I'm a University of California, San Francisco. Pleased to meet you, Susan, you baby murdering scum. Yes, well, abortion is, it does deserve that kind of an outcry because it is a horrible, horrible thing that you would, that people would slaughter off the unborn. And I appreciate the update here. No surprise, of course, that they would fabricate such a thing, that babies feel no pain, or unborn children feel no pain in the womb when they're murdered. Just ridiculous. Why wouldn't they? Would a baby that's, you know, maybe a day right before it's born feel any pain? Well, babies one day after they're born feel pain. They do have, as long as they have a central nervous system, they're going to feel pain. It's just the height of absurdity to figure that somehow babies or unborn children, fetuses, whatever you want to say, don't feel pain. If they have a central nervous system, they're going to feel pain when you slice them up or when you burn them to death. Duh. Sorry for being for ridiculing, but it's just heinous to me, the abortion issue, that people would slaughter off innocent people like this. How fast is our national debt piling up right now? It's a serious. I want you to take a guess before he answers the question. This is an email I received. Well, take a guess. Do you know how much the national debt is piling up? $10 million per day? $100 million per day? $500 million per day? What is the national debt piling up at it on a daily rate? During the past 12 months under the Bush's leadership, with government on the so-called fiscal conservatives, take a guess what's been growing. Keep in mind, for 50 years now, the Republicans have been giving speeches that deficit spending is bad, very bad, that only Republicans might be able to stop it, etc., that Republicans and fiscal conservatives hate deficit spending. What's the answer? He says, take a guess first. The national debt has been growing at an average rate of $1.68 billion per day for the last 12 months. $1.68 billion per day. Unbelievable. I mean, $1.86 billion per day? That means a new billionaire is created every day, effectively. Well, nobody's created. It's just amassed and piled up. What's the chance of us paying off a national debt? I mean, if we have 300 million people in the country and everybody were charged $6 or $5.50, it would almost pay off per day the national debt. That's what would be required for us all to pay per day, $5-6 out of our own pocket. How much is that? You say, well, that doesn't sound too bad. Oh, really? How would you like another $150 a month bill? That's what it comes out to, $160, $180 a month. How much per year? A couple thousand dollars. You've got to come up, and that's just not you. That's every one of your kids, every one of your relatives, all have to pay $2,000 just to pay off the growth in the national debt. That's not talking about the trillion, $7 or $8 trillion that it is. That's just to keep constant check of the growth. If we all coughed up per capita $2,000 roughly a year, we could stop the growth in the national debt. Assuming the government didn't spend anymore. That's another big assumption. You know where this is all heading, folks? There's going to come a time they're just going to repudiate the thing. There's just no way that we could possibly pay this debt off. I don't know if they're going to hyperinflate or what's going to happen, but it ain't going to. We're not going to go on this insane course forever. You can't just continue to transfer to the next generation all the debt. Well, after CAFTA, the free trade area of the Americas, FTAA, world government is the goal, there is a speech that's going to be coming up by Mr. John F. McManus. He's an experienced public speaker and president emeritus of the John Birch Society. He now heads the national effort to stop the FTAA. His speech is going to be here in Greenville Tuesday, September 13th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Hope you can attend this speech, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. next Tuesday, the 13th. We'll have to get Richie to put this on the calendar if he can. Greenville, South Carolina, Hilton Hotel. The speech tickets are two for $15 or $10 each. So go and listen to this speech by Mr. John F. McManus about the FTAA and why we need to try all that we can to stop it, since CAFTA has been rammed through the House, through our and through the Senate and Congress, signed by the President. We need to be very vigilant and go after this this globalist policy of socialist control and the repudiation of the Constitution through the FTAA. At any rate, come listen to John F. McManus one more time, Tuesday, September 13th, 7 to 8:30 p.m., Greenville, South Carolina, Hilton Hotel. And that's $10 each or two for $15. It doesn't actually give us a phone number. Well, here's Yes to You, 1-888-YES-2-USA. 1-888-YES-2-USA. Apparently, that's where you call and get the tickets. We got this flyer by email. I didn't have any other information there. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. We've been discussing lots of interesting things here and there. I was just listening to an email, a video link that was emailed me yesterday by Charles up in Raleigh, North Carolina, about some guy saying that FEMA and its bureaucrats need to be put on trial for murder for what they've done, and that FEMA needs to have new leadership installed and more funding. Well, guess what, folks? This is exactly what the government is going to do, the opportunists will do with this. They're going to claim that FEMA was mismanaged. It wasn't the government's failure. It was the failure of a few people that were running it. And that what's going to happen is we need to have better government leaders installed by people of their choosing and more money. This is what government opportunists always do. It's never the fault of the state. They're never going to recognize that government will always fail when it tries to do what the market's going to do, and it's always going to require more money. Just like the public school, the pagan seminary, the government indoctrination center has been claiming for years. Well, I know we're only spending $10,000 per pupil per year, and private schools do a much better job with only $2,000, but we need more money. That's what it really takes. We've got special needs kids here after all, and blah, 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 and we need more money. More money and better teachers, that's all it's going to take. It's the same nonsense that's now going on with FEMA. FEMA should not be involved. No government agency needed to be involved at all with either the protection or building of levees, protection of New Orleans, building of levees, or any other urban project there. And their involvement has been a disaster. Their involvement to police, protect the city, has been a disaster. It's a complete government failure. I appreciate Charles sending in the videos I was watching, and it's no surprise to me what's being said. This is the kind of stuff that that simply just goes around, goes around after any kind of disaster. Of course, he's talking about in this video too how FEMA has completely turned down water, gas, and other things, other provisions that people need in the city. He's accusing them of this, and for good reason. They did. They've completely failed. The answer is not more FEMA. It's not a better FEMA. It's not more money for the state. The answer is allow the free market to provide for these kinds of needs. Allow insurance companies and others who have an interest in protecting homes in areas which are prone to disaster like this to ensure that things are going well. When Walt Disney World, after the Great Fire in the 1960s or 1970s in Anaheim, California, decided to build Disney World in Florida, they made a special arrangement with the state saying, we get to be our own municipality. Why? We don't trust. We don't have confidence in your inspectors or in your protection services. We're going to have our own fire department. We're going to have our own building code. It's going to be vastly better than yours. And they did so. And they've had a perfect safety record, I think, until this point. And people and the government have copied the market-based innovations of the door, automatic door closers, smoke alarms, and so forth, invented by the minds of the men who ran Walt Disney World. That's right. The free market is innovative. Bureaucrats don't innovate anything. It's not an innovative kind of position. Those people are leeches and parasites on society. And we need to understand where innovation and where improvement and where our protection can actually come from. It's from market-based services, not from government. The same thing goes true, and I've saying this for months now, about protecting borders from criminals. You turn it over to the hands of thugs and criminals in the state and incompetent bureaucrats, even the military, it's not going to be protected, folks. You're not going to have a good job done unless you allow the border to be privatized and give people in the market an incentive to be creative and to find a way and means to protect us there. Now, can government have a role in the national defense of our borders? Sure, but it's not going to be in the border surveillance project. It's not going to be through building us a Berlin Wall there. It's better done through through the market for the lion's share of the taking care of the problem. And so it is in New Orleans and everywhere else. Government is not a solution. Government is the state is the problem. Proactive state. Okay, well, we have a number of other stories that have come up, but you know, I really need to make a quick plug for our friends at the Times Examiner, and I want to do that right now. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and pro-life libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Marvin Alasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Dr. Stephen Yates, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and others. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 for your subscription. If you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner, call David directly at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Ask specifically for David. Once again, all the information you want to have about this is recorded for you on the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website. You'll find the information there in case you missed it as you're driving along. Well, let's come back to another story. And by the way, our phone lines are still open today, 864-244-8177, or the backup line, 864-201-6955. Well, here's kind of a funny story of new invention, a new technology on the market, major technological breakthrough, introducing the new Bio-Optic Organized Knowledge Device, trade named BOOK. That's Bio-Optic Organized Knowledge Device. BOOK is a revolutionary breakthrough in technology. No wires, no electric circuits, no batteries, nothing to be connected or switched on. It's easy to use. Even a child can operate it. Compact and portable, it can be used everywhere, anywhere, even sitting in an armchair by the fire, yet it is powerful enough to hold much information as a CD-ROM disk. Here's how it works. BOOK is constructed of sequentially numbered sheets of paper, recyclable, each capable of holding thousands of bits of information. The pages are locked together with a custom-fit device called a binding that keeps the sheets in their correct sequence. Opaque paper, our technology, that's OPT, allows manufacturers to use both sides of the sheet, doubling the information density and cutting costs. Experts are divided on the prospects for further increases in information density. For now, books with more information simply use more pages. Each sheet is scanned optically, registering information directly into your brain. A flick of the finger takes you to the next sheet. BOOK may be taken up at any time and used merely by opening it. BOOK never crashes or requires rebooting, although like other display devices, it can become unusable if dropped overboard. The browse feature allows you to move instantly to any sheet and move forward or backward as you wish. Many come with an index feature which pinpoints the exact location of any selected information for instant retrieval. An optional bookmark accessory allows you to open BOOK to the exact place in the previous session, even if the BOOK has been closed. Bookmark file, if it's in a universally designed standard, thus a single one can be used in books by various manufacturers. Conversely, numerous bookmarkers can be used. Bookmarkers can be used in a single book. If the user wants to store numerous views at once, the number is only limited by the number of pages in the book. This is an important scientific breakthrough, don't you think? BOOK. How many of us, by the way, read books? I hope you do, because if you're a Christian, you need to be informed, and you need to boot the television out of your house if it's taking away from your reading time. Boot the computer out of your house if you're not using the computer to read as well. There's nothing wrong with reading online on the internet, but you know this satirical little funny story indicates just how bad it is for Americans nowadays who just don't read anymore, especially shouldn't be the case for those of us who hold to the Christian worldview, who should be more informed and better prepared than anyone else. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, The misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralists. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. And we're glad you joined us this morning. Let's have a quick look at the weather.
Okay, Greenville, Spartanburg is 63 degrees, Greenville downtown 64, Anderson 65, Clemson 65. Today, partly cloudy, highs in the lower 80s, and northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
I've just been, during the break, watching the rest of this FEMA video. This guy, yeah, we need to get our vocabulary. I mean, we all make mistakes when we speak, I know. But when this guy's on national TV saying the Calvary's coming, the Calvary is coming. Don't worry about the governor of Louisiana. Don't worry about New Orleans mayor. The Calvary is coming. What is he saying? Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary. How do you say the word for men who are mounted and ride on horseback? It's cavalry. Cavalry. I know it sounds kind of like Calvary, but it's not the same. And it sounds really, really inane and stupid when a guy is sitting up here as a spokesman for FEMA telling everybody that the Calvary is coming. The Calvary is coming. You hear the difference? Just bizarre. Let's speak correctly. People like Rush Limbaugh used to say, not that we promote him in any way, but that people used to judge you by the words you use. And they do. And those of us who are Christians should be careful to use our vocabulary correctly. Now, we're all going to make mistakes. You don't have to make a big point about this, I suppose, that you should worry about it to death. But use the words like legislation and law. Those are two different words, and they apply to two different things. Use them appropriately. Don't call everything law when it's really legislation. Let's make a distinction in our vocabulary between the state and government, the limited government promoted by our founding fathers, and this vicious, malignant, parasitic state that we have today. Let's make sure we always get Calvary distinguished from cavalry, as we should. Let's be careful when we use our words. And there are many other examples of things that we often mess up, especially here in the South, where we use, you know, me and Ed's going to the grill after work. Ed and I are going. You know, we should be careful in our language, because people do judge us that way. And the more precise we are, the more eloquent we can present facts, the better off we're going to be, I think, in promoting the Christian worldview. And especially when we're in a more academic context or a more public context. We don't want to sound like fools and idiots. Now, I'm not saying that God can't use people who speak poorly. He can. But if we have the means to not be that way, then we ought to strive to do and glorify the best way we can God with all of our words and all the way we think and all the way we respond to other people. That just struck me when this guy was talking on the video, and he was giving us a bunch of more, you know, claptrap and diatribe about New Orleans and about the government's involvement there. Sad. But, you know, so many people are going to fall for it, and it's really, really heart-wrenching to see it come through in that way. Well, here are a couple of other email stories. I received a bunch of stories, actually, from different people, like the Libertarian Christians website. And let me pull up a couple of these for you today. There's a couple defending outsourcing. A year ago, Harvard students occupied a university building to demand that all Harvard employees be paid a wage that reflects the cost of a decent lifestyle in the city of Cambridge, Massachusetts. The outcome of the six-week charade was a series of committee hearings held by Harvard economist Lawrence Katz, and these hearings have in turn produced the Katz Report. One of the supposedly damning conclusions of this report is that Harvard has been outsourcing its employees to avoid paying above-market wages and benefits. There's no denying that the argument against outsourcing has a certain amount of appeal when applied to Harvard University, whose $14 billion endowment has been acquired, at least partially, at taxpayer expense. However, it's quite another thing altogether to believe that outsourcing is, in general, a deplorable practice, as a writer for the Harvard Crimson recently suggested. So outsourcing, this is a hot topic. Of course, for those of you who aren't familiar with outsourcing, it basically means that we use the media, like we have with the internet and telecommunications, to give people jobs in India or other places in the world where they can speak a little bit of English. And of course, if you listen to anybody from India, you know they don't quite speak English the way we do, at least not the ones you get on the phone. And those people are paid a lower wage, still live a good life in their country, and are able to provide services for people here in America at a much lower cost to the company. Computer companies, software manufacturers, these people do a lot of outsourcing. And it does, in a sense, cost American jobs. And it is annoying if you try to talk to these folks and you try to get something done because you can't understand what they're saying to you. And they can't understand you very well. And it'd be easier for me to speak in Spanish to someone who's speaking Spanish, even though it's my second language and I'm horrible at it, relative to English, at any rate, than to try to figure out what a person from India is saying to me when I'm calling for my Dell Axum or other kind of a computer component I have that's gone giving me trouble. So on the one hand, I don't like outsourcing as a consumer. On the other hand, in the market, there's a way to take care of outsourcing problems. That is consumer demand. If they don't like it, then all the company has to do, if it's really that bad, is advertise, "We do not outsource our support. Don't go to Dell. Buy from us. Sure, we cost $10 more for your item, but you're guaranteed you won't be outsourced." And it's another way that people could compete, and people who are willing to put up with the Indian person on the other end of the line who can't understand, are willing to put up with that, are going to get a benefit because they're going to pay less for a product. There's nothing wrong with outsourcing and allowing it to happen in the free market, because the market will resolve the problems of outsourcing. There's nothing wrong with people being retrained for new jobs. It's preposterous to believe that we need to keep every job here in America. Why? We've always exported jobs. We've always improved our technology and gone to a different level. We've always done that for the last 100 years, and people learn new job skills, they move into new professions, and life goes on. Life gets better. That's how the free market works. Sure, it's painful at times to change your job or to make a move, but nevertheless, your life is still better. We live a great standard of living right now on account of the market and its technology. So let's bear that in mind. We might continue this discussion when we get back. Someone tried to call in just recently. Go ahead and try to call back. Apparently your call got cut off. I don't think it was us who cut you off accidentally. We apologize if it were, but go ahead and give us a call back. We'd be happy to have you on the air. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. finally a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And here's some more about the economics of outsourcing. This is by William Anderson, posted on the Ludwig von Mises Institute website. They're, of course, promoting free market economics and through their institute. Great group. The latest political fallout of the current outsourcing debate came recently when the Bush administration's design manufacturing czar turned out to be Anthony F. Raimondo, whose crime was to be head of the firm of a firm that recently opened a factory in China. The embarrassed Bushies quickly urged Raimondo to withdraw his nomination as the Democrats and a number of Republicans made hay over the whole thing. Of course, the idea that the United States needs a manufacturing czar continues the misguided policies that gave us a drug czar and during the 1970s an energy czar. At least the first energy czar, William Simon, had the good sense to note that the very presence of his office was counterproductive and downright dictatorial and dangerous. Subsequent czars have instead reveled in their powers and have continued the deception. Great point. Yes, anytime you see government create a czar, grab your wallet and look out, because you're going to about to lose some money, and also not only money but rights. How does the market handle the problems of dealing with foreign countries like China, or dealing with other social evils, whether it be drug abuse or anything else? Well, it deals with it differently than the state does. As we see time and time again, because of the perverse incentives that state actors face, all you do by creating a bureaucracy is make a permanent fixture of any social evil or any problem. That's what government regulation does. Why? Because the people involved in it don't want to lose their jobs. They're going to make sure that they do just enough to make the problem, make it look like they're doing something and being effective, but not so much as to ever remove the problem, because by removing the problems, they remove themselves, kick themselves out of a job. Markets instead deal through consumer actions and choices so that the preferences of people are strong enough. They will not trade with people they don't want to trade with or be around people they don't want to be around, and by that would resolve the vast majority of the problems that people fear about dealing with China or other things like that. Can you ever stop 100% people trading with China if you don't like trading with China? No, you can't, either by government or government action or public policy, I should say, or by using the free market forces. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. And this whole idea of outsourcing being criticized or needing a manufacturing czar is a totally preposterous, Marxian, ridiculous philosophy that's only going to cause greater problems and greater turmoil. It looks good, folks, for us to solve our problems using the state. You think it's great that if we get somebody elected and has power to force other people to live a certain way. In reality, it doesn't work that way. The guy who does the forcing ends up being the head of corruption, or at least of perverse incentives, and leads to a permanent fixture, creating a permanent fixture of the problem we wanted to resolve. Sounds good to force other people to do what you want them to do, but in reality, it doesn't work out that way. It doesn't work out well for it. It ended up having a greater problem, and all you do is leave people with greater power in the state, people in state have greater state power for a longer period of time, and you end up losing some of your own rights. We should have learned that lesson by now and have adopted for lack of a better term, I'll call a more libertarian philosophy of how to run the economic system. letting the market handle it and letting people live or die based on whether or not what they do pleases consumers, that's where you have the greatest economic impact and benefit, not by using government power over people. And here's another quick note here, someone had sent up, Tyranny Response staff, privatize the levies in the public sector. This is Michael Rosef's article. I just wanted to read the last few paragraphs of this and his relationship to totalitarianism. It's a good piece. In fact, we're going to do this right when we're running late for a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to do Rosef's article towards the last segment of the show. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're trying to do that here at the Christian Worldview Show. You know, we have another show in the afternoon here on the Tyranny Response Network. I want to remind you on your drive home to tune in about 4:30 to 6 o'clock for Rippin' Richie and his Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse, the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse. Hope you can tune in and listen today and every day on your drive home. Make the Tyranny Response Network part of your daily feast. I wanted to read a bit from the Michael Rosef's article, Privatize the Levies and the Public Sector. At the very end, he talks about totalitarianism a little bit. He says, the key issue in keeping a society going on a proper footing on a long-lasting basis is to prevent the growth of totalitarianism or absolute centralized power. If there are alternatives open to people to choose or not choose a particular service provider, or to withhold or provide funds to a provider, and if alternative providers have ways of replacing existing managers with fresh management, then centralized power is held in check. That is the goal of privatization. The first key to attain the benefits of freedom is to know that freedom is far more beneficial than totalitarianism. The second key to attaining freedom is to know it when you see it. The third key is to know oppression and totalitarianism when you see them. Of course, he's talking about the privatization of levees and in New Orleans and this, in these kinds of areas, and how this could be done better through privatization rather than the state doing it. Freedom means untrammeled choice and unassociation in all manners, great and small, that does not harm others. It means a child can run a lemonade stand without being forced to be licensed, inspected, having wages withheld, paying a helper the minimum wage, meeting safety standards, labeling the lemonade contents, or being open only certain hours. Oppression means every baby having to have a Social Security number, being herded into a convention center or stadium, kept there and left to die and being severely beaten for no good reason by a brutal customs agent. Great point, and I couldn't agree more. We need to have freedom. Freedom is costly. It's not perfect. There are problems that with freedom. There's no question about it, but you know what? The alternative of having a bigger government, totalitarianism or otherwise, when I say a bigger government, I'm talking about a state now, is far more egregious. It's far worse. It's an awful thing to have to face a state. Now, we also have an article related to that on price controls and other Nixonian evils by Anthony Gregory. We usually like reading Anthony Gregory. This is also posted at Lou Rockwell. He says, there are many ways to reduce the cost of gas consistent with liberty and the workings of the market. The federal and state governments could slash away the gasoline taxes. The government could stop outbidding in the private sector for the oil, selling the Iraqis at a staggering loss, taking oil off the market by devastating oil fields and consuming so much of it in its war. It could denationalize some of the land with good drilling potential and make any number of moves towards letting totally privatized, deregulated free market handle energy. What do the conservatives propose to do? Many right-wing talk radio talkers and pundits are calling for the heads of the price gougers, celebrating as a socialist state Hawaii enacts price caps, and beckoning Bush and state executives to use emergency powers and bring us relief and recovery at the pump. Certainly not all conservatives are bleeding at such price control mongering nonsense, but enough of the ones with large audience of loyal followers are for us to worry. What Bush will do is up in the air, but he has caved in on energy price controls in the past, and recent denunciation of gouging is troubling. Indeed, now prices have been falling for gasoline, just as I told you they would, as long as government didn't interfere. There will be a continued fall in gas prices, and it has to be, as long as there's no government intervention into the issue. And it is a problem when we have conservatives who can be so numb in their thinking, not to understand how economics works, to call for something as stupid as a price control. All a price control is going to lead to is dilapidation of the resource, a destruction of the property, and chaos in society, loss of time, loss of efficiency, lines at gas stations, and so forth. And Anthony Gregory has hit the nail right on the head. He's exactly right. Like protecting us from anything, whether it be a manufacturing czar, protecting us from the evils of outsourcing, or in this particular case, some kind of a czar that protects us from gouging, that is so-called gouging that is done by individuals. It's simply not going to work. It will not happen. As long as there is a free market and there's competition, there's no way you can have the situation that Chuck called in and talked about yesterday, where you have Jacob and Esau. Jacob lording it over as a monopolist, the only one who provides him his pottage, his porridge, or his stew, whatever that stuff was, and allowed to name his price. You're not going to have a gas station charging $100 a gallon when across the street you can get it for $2.99 or whatever the case may be. It doesn't work that way under competition. Monopoly, when it's granted by government and government privilege, causes chaos in society. And when government then sets prices too, it even causes greater problems. Well, the story, I guess, here's a story, a couple that just came in recently from the research staff who's working diligently. This one is what Churchill thought of Islam, and it was written in 1899. He was 25 at the time. This is from Winston Churchill, of all people. How dreadful, he says, are the curses which the Mohammedanism lays upon its votaries. Besides the fanatical frenzy, which is dangerous in a man as hydrophobia in a dog, there is a fearful, fatalistic apathy. The effects are apparent in many countries and improvident habits. Slovenly systems of agriculture, sluggish methods of commerce, and insecurity of property exist wherever the followers of the prophet rule or live. A degraded sensualism deprives this life of its grace and refinement, and the next of its dignity and sanctity. The fact that Mohammedan law, every woman must belong to some man as an absolute property, either as a child, a wife, or a concubine, must delay the final extinction of slavery until the faith of Islam has ceased to be a great power among men. Individual Muslims may show splendid qualities. Thousands become the brave and loyal soldiers of the Queen. All know how to die, but the influence of the religion paralyzes the social development of those who follow it. No stronger retrograde force exists in the world. Far from being moribund, Mohammedanism is a militant and proselytizing faith. It has already spread through Central Africa, raising fearless warriors to every step, and where it is not that Christianity is sheltered in the strong arms of science, the science against which it vainly struggled, the civilization of modern Europe might fall. as fell the civilization of ancient Rome. That was from Sir Winston Churchill, the River War, first edition, volume 2, pages 248 through 250, published in London in 1899. Isn't that interesting? What Winston Churchill has to say about Islam. And then finally, to close the show up today, we have a quote from an article, La Republican Charade, Lincoln and His Party by Clyde Wilson. Republican Charade, Lincoln and His Party by Clyde Wilson. This is from a speech, but I'm just going to read one portion that was highlighted for us by the staff. The presidential mandates for things that were never discussed before the voters are in mind here. Lincoln's party, when it was born in the 1850s, in that March 1850, William H. Seward, the chief architect of the Republican Party and its foremost spokesman until Lincoln maneuvered him out of the presidential nomination, made a speech against compromise, anticipating in later famous remarks the irrepressible conflict between the North and the South. And he said, almost all current interpretations of the meaning of the Republican War against the South of 1861 to 1865 come to rest on petty phrases from Lincoln's speeches. Another founding block of the Republican Party often overlooked were German refugees from the 1848 revolutions. Their numbers in the Midwest, as much as 15% of the population in some places, were great enough to form a major voting block to account for the change of the Midwest from Democrat to Republican between 1850 and 1860. Let us always come back to the fundamentals. The Republican Party engineered and carried out a bloody war against Americans that revolutionized the basis on which our liberty has been built. And we appreciate Clyde Wilson coming up and giving us that last bit of news here as we close our show today. Sorry for rushing through that, folks, but we came across the time to end, and we look forward to having you back again tomorrow for another great edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.